I said to the worship team, if I could sing, I would start my sermon with, "Oh, happy day." Do you know that song? And I won't go further. That song goes on to say, "Oh, happy day, the day that my sins were washed away." And Whoopi Goldberg made that song very popular. But I said that song was actually written by an old clergyman that sort of, he wrote it as a summary of his sermon so that people would remember what he preached on. And that specific message was on the covenant that he knew he was in with God, and that he actually physically wrote out a covenant between him and God when he gave his life to the Lord. And he said, "My sins have been forgiven. I'm in this covenant with this amazing God. And all I can do is yearly come back and say, where have I fallen short? But that happy day that his sins were forgiven." And then my pictures of this man carrying this load, because we can sing that song, we can encounter a living God, but we can still look a lot like that guy. And I don't believe that's God's heart. I believe the next picture, "Oh, happy day," is a better representation of what I believe God wants to invite us to tonight. I believe I've got immensely good news that you are aware of, but I've got the privilege to remind you of tonight. And that is, if you have ever encountered Jesus and you said yes to his lordship over your life, and you allowed his blood to wash you clean, you are the only group of people in the world, the only religion that is completely forgiven. Amen. Can we look a little? Thank you. So, we are busy reading to our children a story that I have tried many times to start reading on my own. It's called The Pilgrim's Progress. Who's read it? Who's heard of it? Cool. Did you get through the adult version? You are my heroes. I tried it. I didn't get very far. But now we got hold of this kiddies version of it. A friend of ours read it to his children, and he said the first time, shame, lovely man of God, he says, but he truly understands being a Christian after reading this story to his kids, and it has the most beautiful illustrations, but instead of real characters, it's got these little animals, and the main character is this little guy called Christian, which is a little rabbit. I think there's a little picture of him, and Christian, his mom dies, he's got a lot of heartache, and his dad works really hard, but Christian's got this burden on his back, this really big bag that he carries around. And one day, in his little town, an evangelist comes and presents the story of this king that Christian's had heard rumors about, but he tells him about this king that wants to take his burden away. Anyways, so what happens in our home is I go and cuddle next to one of the children, and Willem does the reading, and then afterwards he does a pop quiz, and the kids are normally quite quick, so the fact that I doze in and out doesn't matter too much. But we're on a chapter where Christian has walked through and he's decided to follow the narrow gate. He's heard, and he's heard that if he knocks, the door will be open to him. So he's gone through this door, meets a little character that says, "You'll come to the cross ahead of you, and your burden will be taken from you." Anyways, somewhere there I doze off, and but I do hear that his burden fell off. Willem afterwards asked the children, "What was this burden that fell off his back?" And they don't answer, and I jump in teacher mode. I was like, "Okay, guys, what is a burden?" Okay, so burden is something that makes you feel very heavy. It's not something nice. In his case, it literally looks like a bag. Yeah, but if I had to talk about the burdens that I lost at that cross, it was my whole childhood. Oh, the things people did to me. I come from a divorced family. Oh, that burden. I am not the results of all those bad things. Anyways, Philip sort of shakes his head, but I can see I'm not in line with what the story was actually teaching. And he's like, "Okay, that's a good answer, but And he points out that this burden on little Christian's back is the sin, the things that he has done wrong, the things that he feels heartache and stuff, but things that are not done to him, but his personal sin, that when he gets to that cross, it falls off his back. And at that moment, he turns around and there are three characters. They just talk about men or beings in white robes that then place a robe on him and give him a new identity. This fell in line with what I'm busy wrestling with at the moment. And this thing that, oh, Lord, I really want more of you, but I'm so broken, and oh Lord, and I feel so attacked by the enemy. And but there's something in the gospel that I know to be true that we fail to access at times. And that's when we forget that this thing on our back is very seldom, the thing on our back that's keeping us from following God is very seldom the stuff other people did. It's a massive thing. But it's very often that we have to come and bear our own load before the cross, and that we need to live like forgiven people. And if we look at repentance, and that's what it brings us to, and that's what Christian did through the image of that burden falling from him, we see a word that normally makes us feel incredibly heavy. Can anyone relate? Oh, I need to repent. Oh, she's going to talk about repentance. And, you just expect the enemy to come and lie on us. But repentance, when it's in front of a God who we understand is good and kind and wants to remove it from us, is a joyful occasion. It is a momentary action of vulnerability, turning to God, turning away from that thing, and accepting that you are washed clean instantaneously. It's remarkably, remarkably easy, and it's remarkably freeing. It's remarkably worth celebrating. And it makes me wonder why we cling to it. Anyways, so I want to take us to Acts 3, 19 to 21. And I want to start and say the thing I repented for over the last few weeks is, I don't know if you've heard the word revival. Yes. Okay. So I grew up in Shofar and I heard about many revivals. But I also heard that some of them go pear-shaped somewhere along the line. And then I was like, oh, okay, Lord, I don't do revivals. I do the faithful, suffering walk of following you daily. I'm just going to prod on. Just going to prod on. But this revival thing is for people that are emotional and want quick fixes, and that's not for me. Okay, I'm repenting here. I'm not saying that's what it is. Okay. And another thing that the story of this little Christian is bringing to mind, and my daughter said it so well this afternoon, she says, Mommy, Christian's at the cross, but the book is still this thick. You're laughing. I'm like 20 years older than some of you, but the road we walk from that cross is still that thick. And I've been wrestling and I've been wrestling, and I know revival speaks to me if I hear about it, of an encounter with God. And then I came across Acts 3, 19 to 21, and it says, repent, therefore. Peter and John had just prayed for a man that stood up, if I'm not mistaken, and everyone went, oh, Peter and John, you're so wonderful. He said, that the author of life who you denied and your leadership killed, it's by the power of his name that we have raised him. He says, let that conviction fall on you. And he says, repent. Okay, and then he says, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Rejoice. That times of refreshing may come. That times of refreshing may come. I almost want to say that times of revival may come. And from where does it come? The presence of the Lord. And that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Okay. So there's repentance. And from this turning away from what I did that missed the mark, the fact that every time we act in disobedience or out of line with God, we are just as guilty as those men and women that placed them on the cross in the first place. But when we repent, we can expect times of refreshing, and we can expect it in the presence of the Lord. Which says to me, not only do I not carry that burden, I, every time I repent, can expect the presence of the Lord and refreshing. Who in this room needs refreshing? Who, if the book is still this long, suspect they will not just need it once or twice in a lifetime? I know I need refreshing. And I need those moments of God coming and feeling closer than my child sticking his face in my face at 5 a.m. I need that. I know we all need that. And then there will be a time that Jesus will return. And the rest of what the prophets prophesied will come to be. But until that day, until his presence is our everyday reality, and that's what we live for, and that's what we dream about. If you're not dreaming about heaven and how wonderful it's going to be, then I encourage you, do it. We cannot live in this world. We are not of this world. We have been left here because there are others that need to come to repentance. But we are built for eternity in the presence of God. So, now with this, we are planning convergence, and I'm excited to see Jen and Glenn here, because at the previous convergence, they were also there, and we did the kiddies ministry, and this year again, we're going to do the kiddies ministry. Now, with this all in our hearts, we sat brainstorming the other day. Now, I'm busy thinking about revival and just this wrestle in my heart, and this restored perception that we need God more than ever. And I don't know about you, but our country needs God in a massive way. I sat with a young lady the other day and I watched her. She's telling me her story. I don't see her here, so I'm not exposing anyone. She told me her story and I was like, Lord, what's happening in this girl's life, that's revival. There's something completely turning upside down in her heart. There's a different way of being. There's a different way of thinking. And nothing can explain it, but she encountered the living God. Now imagine we had a country. I pray for Delft so much. Imagine the Spirit of God just whoosh, and all those drug addicts come to God. It's the only way it's going to happen. I know of many NGOs. I know of many people doing goodwill. I know of many church buildings. I know only the presence of God has changed me. And I have the privilege of seeing in so many of your lives. I prayed with a girl this morning. I met her last year, randomly here one evening. Physically, she is transformed. I couldn't believe it. I was like, you're not the same person. She's been walking out of her salvation, seeking God's heart. Imagine God could come and do that as a wave in our country. So, back to convergence. We're now talking. And Ross says, why don't we take the children around the world? I said, okay, we can take the children around the world. And he's like, let's go and visit all the ministries, the ministers, the missionaries that were part of revivals across the nation over all the centuries. That's okay. Now we're looking into it. So the children are going to arrive at Convergence. For those of you who were there last time, there's stairs that they go up and there's a little foyer. And for every session, the children are going to get a boarding pass for a goodie. There's going to be air hostesses to welcome them. And off they will jet first to China, then to Asia, then to... And with this, I go, wow. Can I just tell you how many times the Lord uses children in revival? The innocent, the humble. If you humble yourself and pray, we need to be a humble people. And we are going to take the children and we're going to stop here in South Africa on Sunday morning. We're going to tell them that one of the biggest revivals in our country and one of the reasons our nation has a church almost on every corner, why there are incredible businesses that maybe have gone down different aisles, why there was strong economy while it didn't make sense for our nation to be have infrastructure like it does, et cetera, compared to the rest of Africa. One of the biggest moves of God, got the date here somewhere, was part of that Andrew Murray season. There were two massive revivals. Came from one evening, a youth group. There were young kids, pale-skinned kids, together, if I'm not mistaken, in Montague. Going to have to check that. Little farmer's town, and they have a youth night. And at the back, a young girl that works on the farm comes in. And she goes to the minister that's leading the evening's procession, and she says, can she bring a song that they sing in their community? And the minister knows that this is going to ruffle the pale-skinned children a little bit, but he says, this is going to be good for them. And she opens her mouth and she sings. And the person that writes about says, this was a young girl who was very comfortable in conversation with God. And I heard that a few of us were talking about the story. He said, wouldn't we love that to be on our tombstone? Melissa, she was very comfortable in conversation with God. And this girl sang, and the Spirit of God descended on that youth group. And that youth group didn't go home for 3 days. And all of a sudden, youth groups across the country lit up, and communities transformed, and people in churches fell under the power and the presence of God. I had a list there of the many things that happened, but they said justice flowed. People that were corrupt corrected their way of business. They said many come to salvation. That's the most powerful thing of a revival. Salvation. Others come to repentance and to know the love and the goodness of God. There was restoration of families, of households. Don't we need that in our country? So we will be taking our children on that journey. But I felt the Lord saying, it's not just for the children. It's for the childlike, and it's for the humble. And it's for those who are desperate for my presence. And it's for everyone to repent. And one of the big things in reading all about all these revivals is God moves through repentance. Repentance. The Greek original word used in the text speaks of a change of heart. Some of us have had a change of heart, right? We all had moments where I was like, okay, I thought this way, I'm going to think this way, my heart's changed. We desire that change of heart. But then the Hebrew doesn't refer so much to a change of heart, but a very change of action. I was doing this, I am choosing to do something completely different. The Lord speaking to me about very moving prophetically, speaking prophetically. That means if you have fallen into a habit of speaking negatively or complaining or whatever, you actually have to go, I won't do that anymore. I've decided in my heart and I'm going to do differently. And then you're going to set up people around you to keep you accountable and say, You're falling back. But God has said, a change. They say change in the, I'm making the wrong sign, but in sign language, the word for change and repentance, the sign for it is the same sign. It's a call to change. And then if you go to the word repent in English, pent refers to an upper place. That's why we've got penthouse, a high place, a place of authority and a place of dominion. Adam and Eve were in a high place of authority and dominion over the earth. When they took the bite of that fruit, they gave it up. Repent. Returning to the high place of authority and dominion is the invitation tonight. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. None of us are exempt from repenting. All of us need to walk in it daily, and we need to enjoy it. We are the forgiven people. We are the whitewashed ones. Matthew 3 verse 8, the Lord is speaking to Sadducees and Pharisees that come, and they're going to also have themselves baptized, if I'm not mistaken, but they're trying to be part of the crowd. And he says, it's where he calls them a brood of vipers as well. He says, if you're going to do this, you need to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Our repentance, if it's true, will bear fruit. We look at the life of David, and we look at the life of Saul. When confronted with what he did wrong, Saul was quick to verbalize repentance. But who knows that the fruit of Saul's life didn't speak of that change of heart? But then when you look at David, we see here in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Tonight, as we worship, I want us to all say this. Would you mind saying this scripture with me as a confession? If it's not on your heart, don't say it. But for those of you who hunger for God to look at the depths of your heart, for those of you who want to turn and return to that high place of authority, say it with me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Amen. So something I felt the Lord show me the last while is, I'm quite good. You know, we've got our, oh Lord, I skinnered a bit there. I'm sorry, I repent next week. I'm not skinnering anymore. I ate too much chocolate. I did thought something nasty. I looked at something I shouldn't have looked. I was too angry with my children. A lifestyle. Sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. Just give me more of you, Lord. I don't want this thing to say. We've got that. But what I felt the Lord say to me this week is, sin is a falling short of the mark. missing the mark, the righteous, perfect mark of God. But God's mark is the kingdom of light. That's where we're moving towards. And I felt the Lord saying that we are well-versed in repenting for the here to thou, but where in our lives are we in agreement with the kingdom of darkness? And this, for me, is something simple. When Malema is there, news reports that he's going to cause uprisings and where do I go? Oh, yes, I better go and get those passports for my children. Been there. When I was neglected as a child, I don't have to repent for being neglected. I get to be comforted and acknowledged for it. But where in my heart that I go, I'm not worthy of love. It's a bit deeper than I swore yesterday. It's a bit more disguised. But where did I go? I agree more with the enemy's words over my life than with God's. I've sat in counseling sessions, and personally, I would tell you I'm not brave enough to do this, and I trust the Lord for the right context before I do, but I've seen it, and I've seen it very powerfully, but I've seen people go through immense traumatic events. And I'm not talking about they just got robbed and almost killed, and then they come to counseling, and then someone says, repent. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about many years ago, and they're still reeling in the pain of the trauma. And then counselors go, okay, we're going to go and see where you can repent. Oh, Lord, how can I ask somebody that was so brutally attacked to repent of anything? They were the victim. They were. And God wants to comfort them. But where we need to go in our own lives and go, I've come into agreement with what the enemy intended to take, the journey he took me on. And in that moment, I used to go, okay, what's the enemy lying to me about? He's saying, you're not safe. God's not enough. Does he even love you? And we want... God is so gracious. He heals, he listens, but at a point you have to go, Lord, I'm so sorry that your word says you are my hiding place, you are my strong tower, and I live as if I have to defend for myself. I disengage, I repent of that lie, and I walk in the authority of your word. So this evening, as I call the worship team forward, I want you to remember, not that repentance, the Lord never comes and condemns you. He doesn't say, oh, I know what you did last summer. Oh. He says, my baby doll, I know what you did. I love you. Come tell me about it. I want to set you free so that you can walk and encounter my presence, because nothing has changed. Sin separates us from the presence of God, and we cannot live like this little Christian on his pilgrimage, this long road, without regularly encountering his presence. So as we worship, do business with God. Ask God for his presence. And let's just see what he does. Because I believe there's a move of God coming to South Africa. And the people that will experience it will be the humble, the childlike, and those that know they've got a father that doesn't condemn them. But every time you turn back, it doesn't matter if it's once, it doesn't matter, it's twice, who's read David and thought this guy couldn't mess up more? All the Bible stories, Willem and I spoke about it this week. We said, okay, maybe Joseph and Daniel, they maybe But the rest of them, it's the gospel. We get to turn back to him. And he says, give it to me. And I'll remove it as far as the west is from the east or the east is from the west. I can't remember. So enjoy this evening as we worship. Enjoy that the Lord wants to remove your burdens tonight. And he wants to come close to you. Because he loves you. And he wants to restore you into the most intimate relationship. Thank you, worship team.